Sandy, I'm still reeling from what just happened just 2 hours ago, the attempted assassination of President Trump. If this doesn't prove to people that God's hand is upon this man, because we just a few inches to the another way, we could have been talking about a different story. And sad to hear about the people who did die, but you know, when we're praying for their families and condolences for them, but this is incredible that this man is alive and God is some way he's been protected. Praise God. That's all I have to say. I'm just kind of still shaken by the whole thing, but still just trying to process it. So God bless. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. It is that day when we listen to you. We listen to your phone calls. We read your email. And this is fun for Bruce and I. We love hearing from you. It encourages us. You keep us on our toes, and that's a good thing. I want to remind you, if you'd like to join in the fun, you can call us at 662-821-2040, or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen on any podcast platform. Your favorite one, afr.net, is likely the favorite platform for many of you that's going online to afr.net. Or you can go to sandyrios.com. That's the website, and easily listen. But the phone number, again, is 662-821-2040. And by the way, that was our good friend Ricardo. Ricardo was a pastor in Texas. He's got 9 kids, and he's become a friend through the years because he used to call on the live morning show, and he always has great things to say. And so he's kicked us off here with expressing, you know, how the assassination attempt affected him just, 10 days ago now as I'm talking to you. And so with that, we're going to get started here. But first, with the availability of the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies and through the mail, a woman's bathroom has become the scene of the crime where she tragically expels her child. I'm talking about abortion. Over 60% now of abortions happen through this dreaded, horrible pill. It's 2 pills, really. I've explained that to you before. The first pill actually kills the baby, and the second expels it. Just so gruesome. And one way to counter that is by helping preborn to show the pictures of babies inside the womb to the moms. And most mothers, the majority of the mothers, decide not to terminate the life of their babies once they see their baby. It's a miracle. It's just a natural thing. It's not a trick. It's just the real deal. It's truth in pictures, 4D ultrasound pictures. And so it works. It's a wonderful way to sidestep all of these obstacles, the people that still love killing babies, the abortionists, the rabid left. It's just amazing. But it's, you know, maybe this is a way to reach them too. Who knows? But if you go to preborn.com/Sandy, preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation, that is the very best way, I think, to stop abortion right now. All right, well, sit back and relax and have some fun on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something. All right, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, this is the fun day for us when we get to hear from you, both your voicemail that you record for us that we can use, and then also just your email and your correspondence. So we're going to chat with you. You bring up a lot of very interesting issues, and we're going to do our best to fill in the blanks on those. And I've asked Bruce to join me. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning.
Well, so have you been reading some fun things over there?
I have.
All right, all right. Okay, so shall we hear, first of all, start maybe with a phone call?
That would be great.
All right. So this, remember, all you have to do is call 662-821-2040 and follow the prompts. And then we listen to them. We listen to all of them. We can't play them all. But it's 662-821-2040. You can have a comment or a criticism or a compliment. We'll take compliments too. But really, we just don't want to know what's on your mind. We learn and benefit from all of those things. So Ricardo calls often. He's like, I told you, he's been listening to me since I did the morning show for many, many years. And so he has some comments about, you just heard him comment on the attempted assassination of President Trump. And then he called and he had this comment. This is clip one.
Hey, Sandy, it's Ricardo. Hey, I was watching the Republican convention last night, and I was thinking they had a split screen. And they had a split screen. Sorry about that. They had a split screen, and they were showing Trump and while J.D. Vance was speaking. And I thought to myself, I could see on his expression, J.D. Vance was saying what he was going to do and how loyal he was going to be to Trump and stuff like that. And it almost looked like when I looked at Trump's face that he almost said, I heard this before with Mike Pence. The way he was looking, it was like he said, oh, man, I'm just wondering if this guy's going to stick with me. You know, and J.D. Vance is saying he's not going to backstab him like he did before. Hopefully he stays true to those words and he's faithful with Trump and they carry out the agenda. But I could just see him. It seemed like he was just thinking about Pence. And, you know, because Pence, when Pence was with him, Pence used to talk so well of him and say, oh, Trump is this, Trump is that. But then he stabbed him in the back with J6 and everything, you know. And so I just thought about that. I thought I'd share that with you. You could just see the despair in his face. I just hope this guy carries out what he's saying he's going to carry out. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, Ricardo, so I have a few things to say about that. Let me just say, first of all, J.D. Vance used to be a never-Trumper. He did not like Trump at all. He said some terrible things about Trump. So people are wondering, well, why did he choose, you know, J.D. Vance? Well, J.D. Vance, in his own words, and I've read this, and then I think he said something similar on the stage, he was not plugged into politics. He was a young guy. He actually was going through kind of a, even spiritually, kind of a desert. He was in the military, served overseas, I think in Iraq or Afghanistan, I'm not sure. Iraq. Okay, thanks, honey. And also then, of course, he went to Yale Law School, and then he went into futures. What was his industry, honey?
Well, he was in like venture capital.
Venture capital, that's right. Venture capital. So he wasn't paying any attention to politics other than sound bites, you know, like CNN, like, you know, just the sound bites that your neighbors hear and know. And he readily admits, he said, all I knew were these things. And based on what I heard, I couldn't stand Trump. And so that's what I was speaking out of. But as I became more informed and got more involved and grew up, I understood. And Trump really persuaded me by his actions, as he has many, many people, that he really was worthy of my support. So that's when it changed. So he's been very honest about that. So now you ask me if President Trump, or you just said, you think President Trump was wondering if J.D. would stay with him and thinking about Pence. Let me tell you the big difference here. In the case of Mike Pence, and you've heard me speak about this on the mic before, speaking of mics, Mike Pence, I used to know him very well. He was just a great guy. But what actually developed was that Mike Pence was chosen, and he chose as his chief of staff for the vice president's office a guy named Mark Short. Mark Short is a never-Trumper. Mark Short should have never been chosen. He should never have been in that White House. And Mark Short wanted Mike Pence to be president. And that was the goal from the first day they entered the White House. I know Mike praised President Trump, but I can tell you, well, pretty much on pretty good authority, at least my impressions, knowing what I know, that there was an effort to undermine Trump the whole time. I told you many times that staff that he hired, generals, you've seen that yourself, pretty much all of us know this, were not working to advance his cause, President Trump's cause. They had another thing in mind, and I think Mike was part of that, and I think the J6 part, just J6 thing part of that, too, was just a furtherance of that. I think they thought that if Mike did what he did and kind of ignored Trump on that, that he would be, Trump would be out and Mike would step into his place. That's really what I think the grand plan was. So that's kind of different than JD. JD's was in the past, and he's explained why. It's not going to, that doesn't mean he's going to always agree with President Trump or that there won't be disagreements, because JD is much firmer on abortion. His position goes deeper. In the past, he said he didn't even, as I recall, even exceptions. I know he's not saying that now, but he had a much firmer position on that than President Trump has explained. Although I think President Trump is also pro-life, but I hope that helps. I hope that helps. All right, honey, let's see. We got some email here. This is this is just kind of fun. Keith writes, he says, I don't catch all of your podcasts, but they are very informative and have depth. God bless you and Bruce, as I appreciate when he is on with you, even just for a few minutes or the whole broadcast. That's for you, honey.
Oh, well.
Were you listening?
Yes.
Do I have to repeat? He's very, reading over there.
That's very kind of you, Keith. I thought there might be more. So anyway, no, your words are very sweet. I am honored to be on, actually, with Sandy, and I whether it be a few minutes or the entire program. And I can tell you we are very appreciative of feedback. And thank you for writing that email, taking the time.
Yeah, sweet. All right, so this is, I don't know where this is coming from, but this is from Sandy. Sandy to Sandy. She said she's changing the subject. She's talking about Russia. And I think, Sandy, you're inferring that I said something that counters what you're saying here. So I don't remember the discussion because it's been a while since you sent this. She says, no, Russia is not communist. And Putin is not a monster. He is one of the few sane leaders in the world. He has turned to China because he recognizes that the U.S. leaders are warmongers who want to break Russia up into smaller countries. The U.S. is the problem, not Russia. Well, that's interesting, Sandy. I don't know what I said that made you say that, but I would say this. No, Russia is not officially communist now. Hasn't been since I was there. And the Soviet Union, right before the Soviet Union broke up. So I do actually know what's going on there in that regard. They are not communist.
Did you end communism while you were there?
I did. While I was there, I single-handedly. And I want to tell Sandy, Sandy, did you hear that? I take full credit. No. No. No, but Putin was the head of the KGB. And, you know, sometimes you can't shake your old tendencies. And certainly Putin was, he was not in for a free press. In fact, I think he poisoned some journalists that opposed him. He's from a different place and a different breed, Sandy. I agree that he's done some good things. I don't think he's a monster. I guess based on Western civilization terms and Western Christianity as we understand it, he's pretty ruthless. That's true. But I don't think he's a monster. I think the mainstream media wants you to believe that because Russia's responsible for all of the wickedness that's happened here, right? I don't believe that for a minute. You say he's one of the few sane leaders in the world. I kind of think that may be true too. I think he is sane. I do. I think he is a former communist, former KGB agent with all the deception and practices that go with that. But I do think he's quite sane. And I do think he's turned to China because the U.S. has, you know, gone the direction it's gone with Joe Biden, a foolish direction. I think Putin hates weakness. I really do. I think he hates weakness, and I think that's why he respected President Donald Trump. I'm sure there would have been clashes, you know, along the way. There had to have been, but out of respect because he was afraid of President Trump. I know he didn't invade any of the territories he's invading now in Ukraine and elsewhere. He didn't do anything during that time. So I don't know. U.S. leaders are warmongers. I don't know if the leaders are, but I do think there are branches of the big deep state that are because war fuels their industries, and I think there are some there. But I don't think that's true of all of them. I'm just saying. It's often true of national security types. But when you say the U.S. is the problem, not Russia, well, I agree with that too. Under Biden's leadership, we have disgraced ourselves. And right now, Benjamin Netanyahu is speaking tomorrow, as I speak to you on Tuesday, July the 23rd. He's speaking, and Kamala Harris is refusing to preside over the meeting. President Biden can't, you know, isn't going to preside either. And he's being snubbed by members of Congress because it's been disgraceful what the Biden administration has done to Israel. So I agree with you, Sandy. The U.S. has been the problem led by Joe Biden. What have you got over there, babe? Anything?
I'm a little hesitant to read this one because of, I have to say, I've been a little bit of an organic food denier over the years, and it was based on what a farmer told me one time, and I can't repeat what he told me.
So you're into healthy eating, right?
As to what goes on in the regular fields versus the organic fields. But
Bruce, you have actually, I'm going to say, just a sidebar, you have really, since we've been married, you've changed your eating habits. You eat much more healthy than you used to.
Well, I was a bachelor then, you know, we live on fast food.
Is that how it works? Yeah. Well, I'm not exactly a healthy eater myself, as you know, but I'm better too. So, all right.
Well, anyway, this is from Edward, and he says, just so you know, he says, generally speaking, in my estimation, it is very unwise to eat at restaurants that serve food that is not at least organic. It is too hard to think about paying for much of what they serve just to poison the family. Yes, it sounds as silly as, quote, don't take the vax, end quote, once did. Much of what they buy to serve is grown in soil using fertilizer loaded with sludge, microplastics, and GMO, etc. The statistics are overwhelming. People are suddenly and until recently mysteriously dropping dead in growing numbers, including many athletes in their prime. Any additional information you have or get regarding sources of food that is properly fertilized, is non-GMO, etc., we will be very interested in. We have a growing number of people coming in to buy our fertilizer from as far away as 200 miles. Just a heads up. God bless.
Well, you know what? I'd love to talk. What's their name, honey?
The first Ed and Nan Greer.
Ed and Nan, I'd love to hear more from you about your business, because you didn't say much about that, but that is interesting. You know, I used to be such a skeptic, and I am still. Now, Ed and Nan, don't get mad at me. But there are people who obsess over their food, and they are obsessed over everything. And they talk about it all the time, and they pick at their food, and they're just obsessed. I don't know what else to say. That I don't like that. That offends me. But this resonates. I get this. Yeah. The way you placed it, I get this, and I understand that we've learned that things are not what we think they are. We don't have the same standards we used to have when I was growing up with food.
Well, and we just had a conversation Saturday with a doctor who was talking about the importance of organic food. And he said, you know, not in regard to everything you eat, but in regard to certain things, especially fruits and vegetables, things that do not have a shell or a peel on them that you take off, things that are you eat directly out of the ground, those are the things that he said are very important, like berries, carrots, things like that, that come right out of the ground and you eat them. Also, in the past year, we went to a seminar, which was a COVID seminar, and one of the doctors who looked like he could have been Superman spoke to the group, and he spoke to us about the importance of knowing the sources of where you get your food from and what is being used in the production of your food. How is it planted? How is it fertilized? How is it handled after it's reaped? I mean, it did make somewhat of a believer of me. So I certainly don't. I'm not saying anything against what Ed said, but I'm just saying, for me to come around on this is actually quite something, because I used to be somewhat of a denier that it was important.
Yes, I can attest that you were, and me too, same thing. So. Thank you, Ed and Nan, for all that you do to bring awareness. And thanks for talking to us about that. We should do exactly that. Look for some kind of. I have had things in my inbox about organically grown food and meat that's grown meat that's cured or
the way it's processed.
Yeah, processed.
The way the animals are fed. Yeah. And it makes sense. I mean, it does make sense. What goes in comes out, you know. And the old expression, garbage in, garbage out, probably applies to food and to meat.
Okay, so moving on, let's listen to Rebecca. Now, Rebecca, this is not this is a clip that's got a little time on it because these things, you know, the events pass quickly. But Rebecca has some really interesting things to say, and this is clip five.
Rebecca Thomas here in Arkansas. I just listened to the Trump conviction podcast. When I heard the verdict, all my hope in this country finally died. And I'm glad, because my hope wasn't supposed to be in a country to begin with. My hope is in God. The devotional that Bruce Rios read is so true. I need to walk with my hand in the hand of the Lord and pray and call my elected officials and love my grandchildren and my husband. And thank you so much, both you Rioses. Bye.
Rebecca, that's sweet. And I can't really add anything to your analysis. I mean, my heart sunk too. That's been some time now. Don't things change quickly? I've been very discouraged, and I've been open about that, I think, on the mic, maybe not telling you quite how discouraged I was. But the Republican convention, the miraculous recovery of President Trump, that he didn't get shot or that he didn't get killed, was amazing. And that when I saw God's hand, it really revitalized my heart and reminded me of how very big God is. And you're right. We can't live every day on the news. I mean, let our hopes rise and fall on the headlines. That's a terrible mistake to make, and it's so easy to fall into when you care about what's happening in the country, which we should care. And there's nothing wrong with getting down about it, because, as I've said many times at this mic for many, many years, you have a family. You have a family. For Rebecca, your last name is Thomas, the Thomas family. You probably have children, you said. You have grandchildren. So you care very much what happens to the Thomas family, and, you know, that's natural. But America is also our family. It's also our family. There's nothing wrong with grieving about what's happening, trying to stop it for the sake of our children and their future. But we understand that nothing good happens apart from God's approval. And so it's a balance. It's something we have to understand as Christians.
You know, I listened to Rebecca's message, and you can just hear the real pain in her voice. And I have struggled with this ever since Donald Trump came on our political scene, and that is, as much as I love his policies and I love the things he's done, we have to be careful that we do not elevate Donald Trump to too high of a status. And especially when we start looking to him to solve all our problems instead of looking to God. And, you know, I don't know what Donald Trump's spiritual walk is. We don't know what anybody's spiritual walk is other than our own. But I can tell you, I do think that regardless of his spiritual walk, he is being used as an instrument of God's hand. And I think that's one of the reasons that he survived the assassination attempt, is because God has plans for him.
Yeah, let me just say on the Christian part of it, well let me read what, I'll read that in a second. President Trump has consistently championed religious freedom. I mean, really and truly. Remember, he's the one who stopped the war against Christmas. Anybody remember that? Remember under Obama, we couldn't say Merry Christmas. Businesses were not using the word Christmas. We were not allowed to say it. Was kind of shunned and frowned upon. All of that. In our schools, it was withdrawn, the mention and celebration of Christmas. Those were dark days. And when President Trump came back to office, he reversed all of that. Now, I'm not saying it's been completely, you can write me and say, yes, but our department store doesn't still do that. I know the culture can't control that, but he led the charge against that. Now, that you can say that's not important. I think it is. He also has that heart for life. He just had this New Yorker, a rough, tough businessman, billionaire, had a heart for the unborn. And he showed that in his debate against Hillary Clinton, where he called her out and described partial birth abortion. I thought that was stunning, and I think that's a big part of why he led the why he won that election in 2016. He also has appointed pro-life judges who are conservatives. He has a commitment. There's a lot more that he's done, but I just want you to know there's a lot at stake coming up in this election. And even though you may not, you know, I hear these, all these, I don't even want to repeat them. I could, but why would I? Because other people repeat them enough. Yes, there's some really bad stuff in his past, but I bet you if everyone knew, there'd be something really bad in each of our pasts. It's all relative. You know, holiness is, it's a high bar for holiness. So no matter how holy you are or how much in church, there's stuff you wouldn't want people to know. So we just, I don't know why we glory in his horrible things that he has done in the past. I think he is a different man. And now I'm going to go to Herb. This is Herb. Herb has a different view. He says, D.A. Alvin Bragg got a standing ovation from his church Sunday. What did Trump get? Oh, he doesn't go to church. How Christian. Herb, where do I start on this? You really think, you're telling me in this email that you think going to church on Sunday and being praised by people in church makes you a Christian or is a sign of your strong faith? And you think that not going to church infers that you're not a Christian. Is that what you're saying? Well, let me just say to you that I've been in a lot of churches that are absolutely, have you not been to a church where there's no sense of God at all, no sense of his spirit, no faithful teaching to the word? No morality called to question or called to account by people in the church. There's church and then there's church. So if Alvin Bragg went to church and got a standing ovation, that really doesn't mean anything. It would depend on the church and how it conducts itself regarding scripture and the faithfulness to church, to Christian doctrine. So that's kind of meaningless. And not going to church, I'll tell you somebody famous who didn't go to church, who was a Christian. Eventually, that was Abraham Lincoln, because he hated the established church. He didn't like the way things were done. He didn't like the hypocrisy, so he refused to affiliate himself. But he spent his life in the Bible. He knew more scriptures than I'll ever know, and he certainly showed his faith, which eventually came full-blown after the death of his second son, in things that he did and how he led the country. So, I have to say, Herb, you hear me say this a lot if you're still listening, that you have to look at what a man does, not what he says. And so you're talking about going to church, but it's got to be something, it's got to be more significant than that. And it would be interesting if I had you on the line on the phone, I would ask what you think it really means to be a Christian. And because I can't do that, I'll fill in my own blank. It means that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, a serious follower. You have conformed your mind to the mind of Christ. You've taken on his, he says, if you love me, follow my commandments. You know, do what I say. And so it would be your life. It would be your thoughts. It also would be pride, Herb. It also would be pride. So enough of that. I appreciate your question, and I hope I didn't make you mad, but I hope I made you think, okay? All right, honey. Let's see. Let's go to, I know what I want to do next. Let's go to, we forgot something. We forgot to mention something. Let's rewind. Go back with Rebecca, because she said something that made both of us laugh. Bruce Rios. Rebecca, don't feel bad about this discussion. This is funny. Tell her why that's funny, honey.
Well, it's funny because my last name is not Rios, but when we go places, people think, you know, they know who Sandy is. They don't know who I am. So they just assume that my last name is Rios also. So we went to a fundraiser one night in Northern Virginia for Rick Santorum a long time ago. And I always tease Sandy about, you know, people think my last name is Rios. And she always says, no, they don't. And I said, yeah, they do. So we got to this fundraiser and they had the name tags laid out on a table as you checked in. And there were our name tags, Sandy Rios and Bruce Rios. And she goes, oh, I'll get that changed. And I go, no. I'm going to wear this all night.
And he did. And he did.
And usually what happens at these fundraisers is As soon as people ask me what I do for a living or did for a living, and I either tell them at the time I was an FBI agent and I'm retired, they just turn away from me because obviously I can't help them with their political career.
Well, okay. So, and on the other side of that, I use my married name in my private life. So when I introduce myself at church, I'm known as my husband's name. I didn't keep my other name, except I kept it for professional purposes because I'd been... I was a grown woman when I married Bruce, and I'd had a long career, so I kept my name for professional purposes.
Well, I can't say I would be proud to be Bruce Rios.
You're so funny. You're so funny. All right. Okay, so this is I don't think she leaves her name, but she brings up something really, really important, and this would be clip 6.
I don't have a question, but I do have a couple comments. We miss you so much. I really, really do. I understand that the J6 people, that they were wrong being put in there and all that. But, and it just concerns me. We saw what happened with Donald Trump, with the, they call it lawfare, first time I heard that word. But at any rate, we've got prisoners. We have young men, well, they're getting old now, that volunteer to leave and go fight for our country, and they're sitting in Fort Leavenworth. I'm sure you're familiar with it. You did a show on it one time. And I would just appreciate if y'all would mention them. I mean, we hear J6, 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 and I get that, but what they, the wrongs that they, and injustice that they suffered, and we could see it with President Trump, these guys even more so. They got no public attention. The things, when you study their cases, it is unbelievable. It was all political under the Obama administration in Afghanistan. And the injustice is just heart-wrenching because they were good people who went and volunteered to serve. And I just kind of encourage you to please don't forget about them. Bring them up more often. And I wish that AFR would too, because I know they're prisoners, but they were unjustly served while they were serving for our country, even more so when you look at it than the J6. And I don't know about Donald Trump. That was nobody could top that, but what they did to him. But anyway, I just wanted to pass that along.
That was so sweet. First of all, thank you for your compliment about the show. I miss the morning show, too. Sometimes I do. But Fort Leavenworth, yes. And what she's talking about is the rules of engagement for battle were changed while we were fighting in the Middle East when Barack Obama was elected. And they made the rules of engagement so weird. One of the things was that you could not shoot anyone unless they shot at you first. There were all kinds of things like that that put our men at such danger. I tell you, Obama was, I'm just going to go out there and tell you, he is an enemy of the state. He's an enemy of this country. I believe that with all my heart. And he hated the military. And you can see in this second, his second term with Joe Biden being the face of it, they have decimated the American military. And so a lot of guys got killed, and a lot of guys came back, and guess what? They got charged with murder for killing Islamists in the battlefield, and it was a horrible situation, absolutely horrible. And I remember when it happened. It's been such a long time now that they're not on my mind like they used to be, but they are still there, languishing in Leavenworth. And so we need to do a follow-up show on that, but she is absolutely right to bring that to our attention again. Okay, Bruce, you have an email from our buddy Joe from Goochland.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be a show for me without an email from Chicago Joe. I feel like we're kindred spirits.
Yeah.
And the subject is Kyle Fitzsimmons or Fitzsimons. I'm not sure which is the correct pronunciation. J6 Patriot. It says, hello again, Sandy. I just wanted to share with you my response to Kyle Fitzsimmons, who now is in the correctional facility in Coleman, Florida. He just emailed me a beautiful message for Father's Day. We're now able to communicate 24/7 through core links. Here is my reply to him. Greetings from Virginia. And a happy Father's Day to you too, Kyle. I'm glad to hear that you're doing well. Again, I am amazed at your willingness and enthusiasm to keep moving forward under the circumstances you face every day. I believe that I had explained to you how I connected with the 37 patriots that were detained in the D.C. Gulag shortly after the infamous incident of January 6, 2021. It was Sandy Rios, the Director of Governmental Affairs at that time for American Family Radio, who introduced her listening audience to search for the names and addresses on the website for patriotmailproject.com, which supports the J6 political prisoners. Well, I recently wrote to her about you and how well you were coping with the situation. If it hadn't been for Sandy's due diligence in spreading the word about you guys, we would not have made that connection. And he says, that being said, we continue to fight for you and pray for you, all of you. To borrow a phrase that I've often quoted from Sandy Rios, we need to, quote, stand up, speak up, say something, do something, end quote. Keep in touch, my friend, and keep the faith. Remaining faithful to his word, Chicago Joe.
Well, Joe, that is very rewarding, and actually I've got goosebumps just thinking about what you're doing to try to help. And the fact that it's very rewarding, and I so appreciate that. Kyle Fitzsimmons is his name, and actually he's in Coleman, Florida, I believe that's right, and that's not actually too far from where we live, and I met Kyle's mother. I had lunch with her a few months ago. And the treatment those guys are receiving now, even I've mentioned this to many of you, they've been transferred, broken up out of the D.C. gulag because they were becoming too chummy and too strong, and they're sharing their faith. And so jail system separated them so they wouldn't have that strength. They're still mistreating them, still treating them terribly. It's very hard to go see Kyle. And Joe, I'm really grateful that you are able to correspond with him, and thank you for sharing that with us.
And can I just add that we have a good friend here who has been in fairly constant communication with some of the gentlemen that are in Coleman prison.
Kyle is one of them.
And she relates to us often how important this is to these guys, how it lifts their spirits, how it keeps them going. You can imagine, you're all locked up, and you think nobody cares about you. I went and did this on your behalf, and no one cares about me. Well, believe me, little things like emails, calls, whatever, really help these gentlemen.
Yeah. So let me repeat that website, patriotmailproject.com. Patriotmailproject.com is a place to go if you would like to write to some of these guys. They've been in there for, like, many of them have been in there for 3 years. Now, Kyle was tried, so he's now serving a sentence, but some are still on pretrial detention. That's how horrible it all is. Okay, so lots is breaking in the news right now, and we just got this one from Milton. Let's listen.
Hello, this is Milton Palmer. I'm an AFR listener, and I met Sandy and Bruce a couple of times at the AFR retreats. And I was wanting to talk to her about this statement that's been released that Biden said he's stepping down from running for president, but he's going to stay president to the end of the year. And I think we should pursue that. I don't think he said that. I don't think they even told him he's stepping down. I think he's in the dark about that. And maybe she knows who we could ask or who she can go to force the issue for him to stand up in public and publicly say that he is dropping out of the race and he's going to stay president. Because like Sandy has said, and we all know, we don't have a president running. The people that are running this country, nobody voted for. And we just need to push the issue and put a little more pressure on him here to maybe just stir things up a little worse, because if he's the president, he needs to stand up in front of everybody and tell us he is not going to run for president. He should be man enough to do that. Of course, we know his character, but I don't think that he has any idea that they have taken him out of the race. That's my opinion, and we appreciate all she does. Thank you very much.
Bye. Well, Milton, a lot of things are happening. First of all, Joe Biden was on a call with Kamala Harris, so strange, just this week, and basically threw his support behind her and said, I don't know what else he said. He was going to fight for her. He was going to do everything he could to get her elected. So he sounded pretty decent on that phone. But we're hearing all of these stories. I heard yesterday there were a lot of rumors that he was at an event in Las Vegas, and the word has it that he had a health episode, and they were going to rush him to a local clinic. So police were called in, and they were clearing the streets. And then suddenly they got the word from the president's camp that President Biden, they were going to fly him directly to Walter Reed. And the observer who observed this said that the plane, he'd never seen Air Force One take off so quickly, and that it headed right to Walter Reed. And then we had this strange email or interview with Larry Biden, who sort of indicated that Biden was on his deathbed, that I don't have much time left with him or something to that effect. Oh, let me correction, that was Frank. So Frank Biden, that's the younger brother. And then he's been silent. You know, this statement comes out, and I told you, if you've listened, we've talked about this at great length. The statement came out, and we don't think, it was not an official letterhead, and it wasn't his typical signature. It was underlined. It was strange. And so, no, I agree with you. I don't think he probably had anything to do with that statement. And so it's very confusing because now he shows up on this phone call with Kamala Harris sounding pretty cogent. So he must not be on his deathbed, or I don't know what that means. But I can tell you this, we don't have a president. We don't have a president. We haven't had a president since he got elected. He is being run around by the Obama acolytes in government and at the White House. That's exactly what's been happening. And I guess Kamala is getting all of this support. She's getting, you know, endorsements. She's getting money. The press, oh, we'll talk about her. I guess I'll be forced to. The press is getting all excited. They're claiming that, you know, this is wonderful. I'm excited again. I can't wait. Kamala's going to be a great president. She's smarter than President Trump. She'll be great in the debate. I don't know what they're talking about, by the way. Bruce.
Well, I think if you want to gauge the condition of Joe Biden, don't take anyone's word. Look at his pictures. The last public event that he was seen at, he's getting onto Air Force One. He's wearing the flight jacket from Air Force One and a ball cap, and he's standing on the stairs of Air Force One looking back out towards whoever's sending him off, the crowd. And I tell you, Sandy, I don't think he knows what's going on. He has the most blank look on his face. He's not moving. He holds out his hand at one point, just kind of like pointing at somebody. But he just has this blank look, yep. Like he really doesn't. And, you know, I understand, you know, if he really does have COVID, that can have some effects. But, you know, as of yesterday, they told us he was fine.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that COVID was the cause of that blank look.
Well, this is
And, you know, as far as whether he knows what happened or not, listen, I think he got steamrolled. I think, and, you know, the word I'm getting is that Nancy Pelosi is really swinging a big stick in this whole process. And I think the way they took, what I would say took out Biden from the election is they started a drip, drip, drip of people saying, from his party, saying, we have lost confidence in you. And when that didn't work, they ramped it up a little bit more. More people saying we lost confidence. He still didn't step away. And I think when Biden was in Rehoboth this past weekend, Nancy Pelosi and the big guns came out.
It's like a coup.
And basically said, you get out of this race or else.
Yeah.
And now we don't know what they threatened him with. We don't know if they made a threat regarding Hunter status. We don't know what they did. But all of a sudden, we get that weird, weird announcement
on Twitter.
On Twitter, which, again, run by Elon Musk, Trump's biggest supporter financially. It's just it doesn't pass the smell test that this was done because of Joe Biden's condition. I think this shows you what the Democrats are made of. They will stick with you no matter what you do, as long as they think you can win. But the moment they think you can't win, boy, they throw you away.
Yeah.
Because don't tell me these people that are now throwing Joe under the bus didn't know a month ago that Joe's health was terrible.
Well, there was actually an article, I think it came out in the New York Post this week, that reveals that honestly and truthfully, the plan was they let Joe Biden do that debate, and they thought that was going to be the knockout blow. Mm-hmm. And remember we talked about during that debate how the Jake Tapper and the other co-host,
Dana Bash,
asked some really hard questions and were kind of treated Joe Biden like even-handedly with President Trump, didn't seem to favor him like they always do, handing him soft questions. And then suddenly the press pivoted to, oh, that was terrible. It was like they were reading from the same script. But now we know from this report that, yes, that was a setup to get Joe Biden to let people put him in his worst light and to get him out. And I agree with Bruce. He wasn't going to step down. And so they forced his hand while he was out of town. And it's as simple as that. But the bottom line is, as I said, we have no president. We have no president. When Benjamin Netanyahu landed in Washington, this is Tuesday, the 23rd, he landed yesterday. As he came down those stairs, he was greeted by people. I have no idea who it was. It wasn't the president. It wasn't the vice president, Kamala Harris. She refused to go. She's not a fan of Israel. And we'll get into her role on that. So she wasn't there. The Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, didn't show up. It's like, where are we? Where are we? We've never treated international leaders like this. But
again, it just shows their hypocrisy, because Anthony Blinken, how many months has he been telling us, I'm working hand in glove with the Israeli nation?
Yes, he did say that.
I am helping them in every way possible. Netanyahu comes here to this country to talk about the situation, and Anthony Blinken can't even meet him at the airport?
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting. So, listen, we need to take just a little bit of a break. And when we come back, just one more thing I want to sort out. It's a question Ricardo brings up, and it's a good one. And it's something that probably many of you are wondering and thinking about, too. So we'll be back right after this.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Freeborn is the direct competition to the abortion industry and the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the U.S. By letting a woman see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, a baby's chance of life doubles. I tell you about that every time we talk, but I just want to tell you again and hope that you will support in the very most generous way that you can, Preborn. Preborn.com/Sandy. That's Preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Hello, Sandy. Hey, it's Ricardo. Hey, I'm pretty upset about what happened with the Republican platform, what they did. And you know what? I was I've been a supporter since Reagan, and to see this happen where they mess with the language of abortion and marriage, and then not just that, but the way they did it, they were pretty strong-armed about it. Now, I had signed up for that Trump Force 47 to help with making phone calls, and the lady called me, and I said, hey, I'm still a Trump supporter. I'm still a Trump supporter, but it's kind of like having a fire and somebody taking a bucket of water and throwing water on the fire and putting it out. I mean, that's kind of what they did with changing this platform, this Republican platform to me, because I was excited. And I'm still excited, but I'm not as excited because of what they did. So I just wanted to let you know that, and I wish there was some way they could change it back to more stronger wording on the abortion issue and on the marriage issue. We need to be clear that marriage is between a man and woman. I know they have that Rick Grenell that works for Trump that's a gay guy, but he's wrong. So, I mean, on the platform, it should say what is right, biblically right, as it's been for years. So I'm not happy about it, and I just want to let you know I'm still a Trump supporter, but this is making it hard. Thank you. God bless.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Ricardo. A lot of people are concerned about this, and of course I talked about this quite a bit on the show, on the podcast. So this was before the convention, just to give it some timeline basis. It was a terrible thing that happened to conservative evangelicals at that platform meeting and leading up to it too. But I can tell you that a lot of this was driven, according to people that know, and we had one of the Republican members of that committee join us actually from Virginia. It was the two political consultants that are running President Trump's campaign. They had it in their head that platform, you know, they are not Christians like we are. They don't see the world the same way. And the Democrats have come after Republicans very successfully on the abortion issue. In 2022, they cleaned our clocks on that issue because they're saying all these things. And the political consultants, ironically, were advising the Republican candidates to not say anything about abortion. So with very few exceptions, Carrie Lake gave a great defense, man. She was a powerhouse on how the left wants abortion for all 9 months, but the rest of them just stood down like little mice and didn't say, these so-called pro-life members of Congress. So nobody pushed back, and I have to tell you, the pro-life movement did a terrible job of responding to that. There were reasons. I've said this on the air. I'll say it again. There are arguments that can be made to anyone listening, and if they hate Trump, they hate Republicans, they hate conservatives, there are arguments to deliver as to why abortion is not good, and certainly not for all 9 months. It's not good for women. It's certainly not good for the babies, but you can talk about it in other ways. But they refused to do that, and the pro-life movement did not equip people, I don't think, to do that. So there was a lot more at play there, and I think that you've got people who don't life is not that big an issue to me. I'm talking about the political consultants, and I can give you their names, but I'm not going to right now. It doesn't mean the same to them. And so they saw that as an obstacle to Trump's reelection. And so they were like a hammer. They did terrible things. They made sure that conservatives were not reelected in their various states. It was a long campaign for them. And when they got there, they treated them terribly. The platform was truncated. It was, I've told you, they made them hand in their phones while the political consultants kept theirs. It was like it was a really bad scene. And we need to be really honest about that. And I think I am being honest about that. But I do. Now, this is after the convention and all else has happened. I want to give a bigger picture on this if I could. This is not easy. I need to do this in writing where I could lay it out a step at a time. But you have to look at the big picture of what's happening. And I've never been one to say that I will won't stand up for a principle and fight for it no matter what. And I will do that. But on this, we have a broader issue. And I think on the issue of life, I believe God has kind of gotten around the consultants. And the reason I say that is because I know J.D. Vance is very strongly pro-life. You maybe heard Franklin Graham acknowledge that when he was speaking at the convention. He thanked J.D. Vance for his very strong position on life. And so President Trump, I believe, is very strong in the life issue too, but he's more pragmatic, and he wants to get elected. And again, he's not been equipped. He listens to these pro-life groups, and I won't even name them right now. They have his ear. And they've given him nothing to fight back on this issue. He's not an expert on this. And so you have to take all of that into consideration. And then the bottom line is, though, J.D. Vance is very strongly pro-life, and I think President Trump is too. So there are other ways to accomplish the goal than the platform. The platform is a pediment, an embarrassment. I agree. I was very upset about it, but I don't think it's not a deal killer for me for supporting President Trump and J.D. Vance. So the other thing is this whole notion of things going back to the states. That is exactly what does have to happen. It's over nationally unless the Congress should bring it up to pass a law banning abortions or making them legal. They could do that. We have so far, and even for the last many years, the states have made different decisions about various issues regarding abortion, and that's the way it is now. So the fight is in the states. The platform sets a great standard, or a terrible one, depending, but it's not a deal breaker, but I think something needs to be done about what's happened here, and we need to be strong about the reason why life is sacred. And so with that, I think we're done. Bruce, is there anything final that you want to say before we say goodbye?
No, just how nice it is to hear from everyone, whether it be a phone call, email. It's just really nice because... We want to connect with people.
Yeah, it's hard because it's not a live radio show like it used to be. So we can only hear from you if you do this. So you've heard it. You know the drill. You can call us at 662-821-2040, 662-821-2040. I want to thank all of our callers today. You brought up some great points, and you gave us a way to discuss things that we might not otherwise have been able to address. If you want to listen to the podcast, go to sandyrios.com. That's really the easiest, I think. But AFR.net is our home base. If you're accustomed to that, that's where you should go. And then podcasting platforms everywhere, whether it's Spotify or Amazon or Apple, those are all, we're on, I think, most podcast platforms. But that's where you can go if you'd like to find the show. All right. Well, I want to thank our sponsors, especially Timothy Plan, where they let you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Just visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening. Honey, thank you for joining me.
It was great to be here.
And you guys all joined us today. Thank you for doing that on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.